About punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Friday. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, I have a couple tickets, two sets of tickets to give out, and I'm going to give one set out really early. If somebody wants to go to Sugar Creek Casino tomorrow and see Diamond Rio and Shenandoah will be with them, I got a question for you. And when you text it in on our ag text line, 580-225-9697. The question is, what's the name of the guy that does the skinny on sports at KECO and KDS and the whole nine yards? He does skinny on the sports. What is his name? Text in his name. I'll take the third text, but also text your name in too. Got to have your name to put your name on these tickets. So anyway, what's the name of the guy, his full name, that does skinny on sports? So anyway, there we go. It is 58 degrees. Humidity is 43. The wind is out of the north-northeast at 32 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 40. It is getting it out there. I will have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up to you later in the show. Oh, my God, the text line is just blowing up. Somebody knows this guy, Musty, huh? Anyway, got all kinds of things to talk about today. We've got grains to talk about and what's going on causing that deal. And then we got cattle reports, and I don't know if anybody has seen the sales reports from Woodward yesterday, but cattle are way up, and it's really good. It's really good for the cattlemen. We were needing this, and bad thing about it is I don't have any sale now. I sold mine back in the fall, but what I didn't keep or whatever, but anyway, it looked really good at Woodward yesterday. The Elk City Livestock Auction is going on right now as we speak. So hop on out there and get some food from them ladies out there. They've got one heck of a kitchen out there. Well, let's go on with the grains. Cash prices in Oklahoma as of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat, $7.68 a bushel. Corn, $6.53. Milo, $6.46. Soybeans, $15.10. And cotton's at $125. 125, 126, 127. It's just hanging in there. So soybean futures were higher in overnight trading on signs of strong demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters yesterday reported sales of 299,700 metric tons of soybeans to an unnamed country, said the USDA. Of the total of 233,700 tons are for delivery in the current marketing year that ends on August 31st, and 66,000 metric tons is for delivery for next year's marketing year. On Wednesday, the USDA reported export sales of 240,000 metric tons of U.S. beans for China for delivery in 2022-23 marketing year. The USDA has reported sales of agriculture products to overseas buyers in each of the past 10 business days. Dating back to January the 28th, export sales of soybeans and wheat rose in the week that ended on February 3rd, while corn sales were down. Investors are also keeping an eye on South America. I mean, South America is just their weather. The cattle that come in to the United States, their crops, they have so much to do with our market anymore. It's crazy what's going on. Because I remember 30 years ago, you didn't hear nothing about Brazil or Argentina or nothing like that. And then all of a sudden, their weather depends on our market. I don't get it, but that's why I'm not an investor. So rainfall is coming at the wrong time in parts of Brazil where farmers are doing field work according to the Commodity Weather Group. Up to 8 inches of rain is forecast to fall in the next 10 days in several Brazilian states. Still, the southwestern 10% of the country is still too dry. In Argentina, however, precipitation is expected the next 2 days and showers will expand next week. Wheat futures were moving higher amid rising tensions between, guess who, Russia and Ukraine. The U.S. has urged its citizens to leave Ukraine immediately amid concerns Russia will attack Ukraine at any time. Russia has amassed more than 100,000 troops along its border with Ukraine. An advisory from the U.S. Department said that citizens remaining in Ukraine need to exercise increased caution due to potential combat operations should Russia take military action. Soybean futures for March delivery rose 9.5 cents to $15.83 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $3.90 to $457.90 a short ton. And soybean oil futures added 0.57 cents to 65.08 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery gained 4.5 cents to $6.46 a bushel. Wheat for March delivery added 7.25 to $7.78 a bushel, while Kansas City futures rose 3 cents to $8.04 a bushel. Cattle's up, wheat's up, corn's up. It's looking good, but the only problem is our input's up, and plus we got inflation to add in on this, so I don't know. Hopefully we need rain worse than we need anything right now. So export sales of wheat and soybeans rose week to week while corn sales declined, according to the USDA. Wheat sales in 7 days that ended on February 3rd totaled 84,800 metric tons, up 48% from the previous week. It was still down 75% from the prior four-week average. The Philippines, they were in there for about 34,000 tons. Mexico took 33,000 tons. Panama, that's where the Panama Canal is. If some of you guys didn't study history or listen, that's where the canal's at. 24,300 tons. An unnamed country purchased 11,400 tons, and Costa Rica was in there for 10,400 tons. Japan canceled cargoes for 23,500 tons, and El Salvador nixed the shipment of 19,800 tons, and Guatemala canceled orders for 15,200 tons, according to the USDA. Exports for the week were reported to 380,900 metric tons, and that's down 1% from the previous week. Soybean sales jumped 46%, that's a bunch, to 1.6 million metric tons last week, which was a gain of 81% from prior four-week average, the government said. Unknown countries purchased 804,400 metric tons. China took 298,000 tons. Mexico was in there for 211,000 tons. And the Saudis over there in the Middle East bought 69,000 tons. The total would have been higher, but the UK canceled shipments of 60,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans. Exports for the week were down 2% to 1.3 million metric tons. Corn sales, however, dropped to 589,100 metric tons. That's down 50% from the previous week and 43% from the average. Mexico was in there at 370,000 tons, Japan 347,000 tons, Colombia took 135,000 tons, Canada was in there for 68,000 tons. I don't know how they're going to get across that bridge because them truckers kind of got them screwed there, but they took 68,000, and the Dominican Republic bought 51,700 tons. Well, anyway, everything's looking good. There is blizzard warnings out for again today for North Dakota and Minnesota. Snow advisories, wind advisories all over up north of us. And it is a high fire danger around here today, guys. So everybody, just be cool outside. Don't do anything you'll regret. Check your chains on the trailers. And Make sure when you're driving in the pasture looking for cattle, you do just be careful out there. It's getting it. Them trees are bent over today. Well, when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about the cattle markets, and I got some news from the NCBA that came out officially today, so I can talk about one of our local ranchers now officially. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll talk about that here in a little bit, and I will announce who won the tickets, see if anybody answered the correct name to the gentleman that does Skinny on Sports. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is a rulemaking process that's been undertaken by the current administration to rework the navigable waters protection rule that had been finalized in the previous administration. So the industry is going to be outlining a number of questions and concerns about the current proposal to go back to a 1980s version of the Clean Water Act regulations, along with applying some of the previous Supreme Court decisions that also made some adjustments. And so we're outlining a number of those concerns and offering recommendations on how we think this can be improved to make sure that we have a final regulation that is sensible and workable for production agriculture and is not overly burdensome and applying additional regulations to farmers for normal farming and conservation practices.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Better beef bulls at an affordable price. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at the Clinton Livestock Auction at 12:30 p.m. Their feed efficiency tested on GrowSafe system. More than 50% of the bulls are suitable for heifers. There's data for DNA, data for birth, weaning, and yearlings, and there's ultrasound data. The Davis Angus Value Genetics Bull and Female Sale is Saturday, March 5th at 12:30 at the Clinton Livestock Auction. Get information online at davisangus.com or go to Facebook and search Davis Angus.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
You guys are funny out there today, aren't you? Just got a big old sense of humor. Let's check the weather real quick. 59 degrees, wind still out of the northeast, 30 miles an hour, gusting up to 40. Hey, let's go down here and check, see what the winds are doing all over the state. Let's check it out, see who's got the highest. We ain't got much to do. Wind gusts. Looks like Hinton has the highest wind gust in Oklahoma at 43 miles an hour right now. Elk City coming in at a whopping second. So is Mangum. It's pretty windy down at Mangum. Hollis, 34 mile an hour gust. Looks like there's a strip from Hollis all the way up to let's go Blackwell. There's just a strip through there. I guess that's the front coming through. But anyway, she is gusty up there at my in-laws, Bruce and Karen. They got some gusts going on, 36 miles an hour. So anyway, it's pretty windy everywhere except far eastern Oklahoma. Imagine that. They wouldn't know if the wind was blowing anyway with all the trees. Well, here we go. Here's the winner to the first set of tickets. Carter, I'm sorry you were the first one, but this lady named Lisa would have been the winner of the ticket, but she said, Jared Athan. Have you ever seen Jared? He's not skinny. We're talking skinny on sports, but anyway, it's actually the correct answer is Aaron Kout and Daryl Dunn. You get to come over here after my show today and pick up you some tickets. You get to go. You got one set of tickets. And thanks to everybody for playing. And then we have some really smart guys on here. Mr. Evans, he said, oops, Aaron. So I won't repeat what he said on the radio. Anyway, we got that going on. Well, I wanted to go over some stuff with you. First, Oklahoma Wildlife Department, Lieutenant James. He's putting on a hunter's education course here at Elk City. And it is Monday, February 21st at 6 p.m. And Tuesday, March 8th is another one at 8 p.m. Registration starts now. And you can go online to register that with through the Oklahoma Wildlife Department or contact Lieutenant James. Basically, Monday, February 21st from 6 to 8, and then Tuesday, February 22nd from 6 to 8, and then the second one will be March 7th and 8th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., respectively, on all of them. Must attend all four nights, so that's 8 hours. If you're interested, you can call Lieutenant James, get a hold of Lieutenant James, and you can get on Wildlife Deal, or I'll give you Lieutenant James' number, 580-799-3950. If you're needing any hunter's education, you need your certificate or your kids are needing it, I'm sure he puts on a good show. Well, I got one more question to ask for the last set of tickets. So listen up. Name the host of the Today in Ag show on 96.5 KECO. Also text in your full name for the tickets. I got one more set of tickets to give away. So let it rip, Tater Chip. If you can name the host of the Today in Ag Show, you'll win. I'll take the fourth text. And anyway, that'll be that. Oh, Carter, too quick. Anyway, I got to get back to business here. Anyway, yesterday at Woodward, wow, feeder cattle, just everything was just sky high. Steers in the 300 to 350 range, 230 to 249. Average price was 243.80. In the 350 to 400 range, 220 to 241. In the 450 to 500 range, 213 to 233 per hundredweight. In the 5 to 550 range, 191 to 221. Average price was $212.19. In the 550 to 600 range, 184 to 210, 198.40 per hundredweight was the average price on those. In our 600 to 650 weight steers, 174 to 200, 182.38 was the average price. When we get up here to the 650 to the 790 or 700 pound range, 170 to 182. So, man, the steers were off the clock. They had 5,564 head at Woodward yesterday. So, on the heifers, the 350 to 400 range, 185 to 215. Heifers are even up. 201.10 was the average. 416 to 441, so the 4 to 450 range was 180 to 193 on heifers. 185 was the average. 500 to 550 average weight heifers, 170 to 182. The 600 to 650 weights, 153 to 163, with almost 160 being the average price on them per hundredweight. Then we get up here in the big girls, the 750 to 800 pound weight heifers, bringing 139 to 154 with 150.85 was the average. So, man, it's looking good. Hope that's going on here today. And then we got bulls. They got the 400 to 450 range was bringing anywhere from 179 to 184. The 500 range was bringing anywhere from 181 to 207, and that was even unwinged ones. And then down here in the bigger boys, the 550 to 600 pounders were bringing 177 to 184 on the bulls. 650 to 700 pound bulls were bringing 157 with average 154. And then 700 to 800 weights were bringing anywhere from $1.39 to $1.41. So anyway, cattle are up yesterday, so that's good. Well, we got rid of all that bad weather last week. Everything's kind of getting back to normal, and we'll go from there. Well, as of, you guys ready? Last week at the deal that they had down south, Chair Norman Boyles Jr. owns and operates a seventh. I started out a little early. Hang on here. Here we go. There we go. Norman Boyles Jr., Jimmy Taylor, and Andy Bishop responsible now for guiding the beef checkoff program throughout 2022. Cattle producers Norman Boyles Jr., Jimmy Taylor, Andy Bishop are now the new leaders of the Cattlemen's Beef Promotion and Research Board. This officer team is responsible for guiding the National Beef Checkoff all the way through 2022. Boyles, Taylor, and Bishop were elected by their fellow beef board members during their winter meetings held at the 2022 Cattle Industry Convention in Houston, Texas last week. Boyles, the 2021 vice chair, will now serve as the CBB's chair, while Taylor will transition from his role as the Secretary Treasurer to become the 2022 vice chair. Bishop is the newest member of the officer team, taking on Taylor's former responsibilities as Secretary Treasurer. Chairman Norman Boyles owns and operates a seventh generation grain and livestock farm near Martinsville, Indiana, with his brother Jim and son Kyle. Boyles received a bachelor's degree in animal science from Purdue University and a master's degree in ruminant nutrition from the University of Nebraska. Boyles is a member of the Morgan County Beef Cattle Association and the Indiana Cattlemen's Association. He's a member of the Indiana Farm Bureau and a past member of the Farm Service Agency Board of Directors. Well, Vice Chair, Jimmy Taylor and his wife, Tracy, run a commercial Angus herd near Cheyenne, Oklahoma, consisting of approximately 600 females on 12,000 acres. Their ranching efforts have earned them the 2011 Certified Angus Beef Commitment to Excellence Award and the 2013 Oklahoma Angus Association Commercial Breeder of the Year. The use of artificial insemination, proper nutrition, genomics, and other new technologies plays a large role in obtaining the operation's goal to create a good eating experience for the consumer. Taylor has also served on several local and state boards. Secretary Treasurer Andy Bishop and his wife Megan currently raise their four children on their registered Angus seed stock operation, Fairfield Farm. Living by a motto, faith, family, and farming, Bishop began his career teaching agriculture to students and eventually moved into the field of agriculture lending in 2007. Bishop is the former chair of the Kentucky Beef Council and the National Cattlemen's Association Young Cattlemen's Conference. Bishop also served as a member of the Long Range Planning Task Force and as president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, Young Producers Council, and the Kentucky's Young Producers Group. Norm and Jimmy and Andy are incredibly dedicated to the beef industry. I don't know about Norm and Andy, I can say something about Jimmy. He is, and their experience will be invaluable as we guide the CBB through 2022, said Greg Haynes, CEO of the Cattlemen's Beef Board. They bring their own unique perspectives to the new roles with the CBB, and we're looking forward to their knowledge and expertise as we continue to find new and innovative ways to drive beef demand throughout the year ahead. So, Tracy Taylor, if you're listening, you know what I say about your husband, because he's got that recording. But anyway, congratulations to all three of you guys for your new roles with the Beef Checkoff, and wish you well. And a big congratulations to Jimmy Taylor, since I personally know him, and most of you guys around here all know him. So, anyway, congratulations to you guys. Well, when I get back, that text line is still going. I just seen it click another number. I get back, I will see if anybody knows who the sponsor is to the Today in Ag Show on 96.5 KECO. I'll be right back.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 28th. 879 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 455 brought 215. 14 at 573 brought 184. 3 at 632 brought 153. 54 at 698 brought 163.25. 9 at 753 brought 147. 7 head of heifers at 326 brought 169. 9 at 449 brought 155. 11 at 525 brought 149. 3 at 543 brought 155. 29 at 662 brought 152.50. Butcher cows were 25 to 8. 84 butcher bulls 75 to 107.50, bred cows 500 to 1385, pairs brought 525 to 1435. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, you guys crack me up. Anyway, 60 degrees now. Northeast winds, 29, gusting up to 40. She's breezy out there. Humidity's high, 41. Not high, but higher than it was yesterday. But I'm sure things will catch fire out there, so please, ladies and gentlemen, be careful out there. All right, I'll announce the winner. Carter, you was just way too quick. Anyway, Ryan Wimberly, you won the tickets. Your name will be on them, and they'll be up there in the front of the office right after the show's over. I'm going to tell you guys who it isn't. It's not Drew Cobb. Mountain Dew, no, it's not him. You're kind of a funny guy today, aren't you, Mr. Kevin? You're really funny. And then I'm not sure who Ronnie Clark is, and I'm not sure Everett's Welding and Vice Eye answer by Mark. Yeah, no, that wasn't, none of those were correct. So anyway, congratulations to Ryan Wimberly and Daryl Dunn. You guys are going to go to the party tomorrow night. Make sure you take plenty of cash to gamble, because that's why they want you over there. And I get half your winnings since I gave you excuse to go. So everything's good there to go. All right, let's go on. What else do I got? As I told you, Elk City Livestock Sale is going on now. Monday, Western Oklahoma Livestock Sale will be happening. So you got anything going on that you need to take or buy over there at Clinton, West East Clinton on I-40, give Mr. Brandon Hickey a call for any of your buying and selling needs. Let's see here. I'm a little slow today. I didn't get much sleep last night. Here we go. Yesterday I had Gary McManus on here, who is our he went to the University of Oklahoma, but he is Oklahoma State climatologist, and we were talking about the drought yesterday, and I want to reiterate the answer that he gave about the gophers, because one of the questions I had was, how dry does it have to get before the gophers will leave? For you guys that missed that yesterday, and he kind of laughed, and he said he's never seen it that dry. So anyway, it was pretty humorous anyway. But let's talk about some drought-loving pests today, some bugs. And our number one, I think, here in Oklahoma is the grasshopper. But last year showed how dry conditions create the perfect playground for a few yield-robbing pests. And they were bad, yes, last year. And Athens were bad. And the army worms were bad. We had it going on, and I hope that ain't a sign for this year. But the conditions could be ripe again for drought-loving pests to emerge again, especially if where corn and soybean plants are stressed due to lack of moisture. They are more susceptible to pest damage, says Julie Peterson, University of Nebraska Extension. The insects see a plant is weak and attack, sometimes the hot and dry conditions can be more favorable to the pest. I know in my big garden last year, being the grasshoppers, had a couple of five-round MMA fights going on. But anyway, they were terrible in the Athens. And you guys remember I had guys on here from the OSU on the extension from the extension each county on here about the army worms, because we know how bad they got. In other cases, beneficial insects, which keep pests in check, don't do as well when it's hot and dry. So the troublesome pests increase in numbers or simply do more damage. As of late January, 70% of the U.S. was experiencing abnormally dry conditions, with 55% of the U.S. at moderate drought levels. Peterson says its droughty conditions continue that could invite two key pests, grasshopper and spider mites. Nearly 400 species of grasshoppers inhabit the 17 western states. They feed on grasses and weeds and often move to cultivated crops. Remember last year that one of my good friends down south of Carter, on his pivot of peanuts, they ate, I don't remember the exact number, 10 or 15 rows. He had to replant them. They ate them as soon as they came up, grasshoppers. I mean, they got them that quick. They're just devastating. Grasshoppers are more likely to move into irrigated crops, speaking of that, when surrounding grassy areas and pastures start to get dry. You want to be looking at field edges and margins outside your field. If you see them, they likely will move in. In cornfields, grasshoppers will chew on leaves and actually cause defoliation. Based on the stage your crop is in, it can withstand different levels of that, but depending on the growth and the size of your crops, you have a few different economic thresholds in terms of treatment. Spider mites are another big group of pests to worry about, Peterson said. In Nebraska, for example, farmers face two kinds of spider mites, two spotted spider mites and the Banks grass mites. They cause damage by piercing the leaf cell walls with their mouths and sucking out the cell contents. It's really important to know which species you have, as that will drive the treatment decisions. With insecticides, you want to make sure they work on the stage of the mite you have. As soon as your crop experiences drought stress, start scouting. Always scout before you do any kind of insecticide applications. There you have it. There was a lady called in early last week and was asking me about aphids in the ground or in on the plant of her okra, and I found her an answer, and I lost her phone number, and I apologize. I had the note down on my desk. I might have accidentally threw away. So I talked to a guy yesterday, and he said, when you get aphids on your okra or anything else on there, that Dawn dish soap mixed with water, apply it to the plants, and you can actually, if you can get it wet enough, apply it to the ground, and that'll bring the aphids out. So that's the same thing as for armyworms, and that's the most safe way to do it, because I don't treat any of my, he said he had never heard any attacking the okra, and I hadn't had any problems with okra besides deer. And anyway, there's your answer. Dawn dish soap. I mean, you have to call your county agent or even a county agent from another one if you can't get a hold of one that doesn't have one yet. I think they're filling those all up. Call one of them and see if they know of a chemical. But Dawn dish soap would be pretty easy. He said also, you know, to apply it on the bottom of the leaves, because those aphids hang out at the bottom of those leaves. So do that, and I'd say do it right before dark, because aphids come out. Some of those aphids will come out after dark, especially if you spray the ground with it. So there's your answer, ma'am. I hope that helps you some. That's all I could come up with you for. So anyway, well, when we get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and we'll finish up with some other stuff. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First out last Tuesday, February the 8th, we sold 111 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, February the 10th, we sold 5,564 calves and feeders for a total of 5,675 cattle for the week. Killing cows and bulls 5 to 6 higher again this week. Tuesday, better killing cows 87 to 93. Thin cows bring 75 to 85. Weather bulls bringing 98 to 120. My advice: if you got any of these cows that need cold, be a good time to do that with what they're bringing instead of waiting till they fall $20 or under or more. Our 2 to 4 year old bred cows 1,285 to 1,300, with a 5 to 8 year old bred cows 1,200. Feeder steers 5 to 8 higher again this week. Steer calves 10 to 15 higher. Heifer kids, $8 to $20 a hundred higher. Excellent cattle, 3 to 350 steers, 230 to 249, 4 to 450, 210 to 233, 5 to 550 steered, 191 to 221, 6 to 650, 174.5 to $2, 7 to 750, 163.5 to 172.5, 8 to 850, 154 to 161.5, 9 to 950, 142 to 162. 1,050 pound steers, 144 to 151.85. 21 steers weighing 1,062, bring 145.75. On that, we had a string of black steers weighing 475, bring 233. That's 1,048 ahead. We had another string of blacks weighing 565 thin, bring 210. That's 1,176. And another string of steers weighing 623, bring $2. That's 1,246. On our heifers, 350 to 4 weight heifers, 185 to 215. 4 to 450, 180 to 193. 5 to 550, 170 to 182, 6 to 650, 153 to 163, 7 to 750, 145 to 154, 35, 8 to 850, 142 to 152 and a quarter, 9 to 950, 138 to 143. It pays to bring your cattle where we got 14 order buyers plus farmers and ranchers buying cattle, and we work 100% for the seller, never lying to the buyer. This Tuesday, we will have a dispersal of 80 bred cows and pairs. He's retired. We got 40 other bred cows. And we got 6 Angus bulls ready for service, already fertility check. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. It is currently 60 degrees still. I'll make sure it's updated. Winds out of the north at 30 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 40. The Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger goes as this. Today is going to be breezy, if you hadn't noticed. Tonight is not going to let off much, but it will let off just a little bit. 28 for a low. It's going to get cold. Tomorrow, 48 degrees. Skinny on sports announcer and the Today in Ag radio host. We got something to do tomorrow. So anyway, we got something going. It's going to be a little chilly, but only the tough survive. Anyway, tomorrow night, 27. Sunday, it starts warming back up to 56. Monday, very nice, 65. And the last day of quail season is Tuesday. Winds 14 to 25 miles an hour out of the south. Breezy, 69 degrees, and no humidity. So that's not an ideal situation for bird dogs and no humidity. It just don't work out. You might find some, probably will, but it's not cool to do that. Well, we got this deal going on right here. Oh, somebody texted in while I was talking about the grasshoppers and stuff, asked about blister bugs. I don't know the name of that chemical. You get it at Atwoods, and you have to dilute it with water. Unlike, don't do a Jimmy Clark when I had blister bugs on my alfalfa and I went out there with a pump up sprayer and I didn't read the directions very well. I just knew that's what I needed. So I didn't read the directions. I'm not very good at that. And I put full concentration on it, but it kind of set my alfalfa back there for a couple of cuttings, but it come out of there. But I promise you one thing. It got the blister bugs. They died in their tracks. So anyway, you mix that. Read the directions on the bottle. Anyway, what else we got here? We have the Raiden Local Livestock Show will be tomorrow, 10 a.m. at the Raiden Ag Building. Everyone is welcome to come. Support the Raiden Ag students. The local livestock show starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. in the morning. As soon as I find my phone, I got to talk about the Arnett one, too, before I forget. Hang on here. I'm getting there. There we go. Arnett, FFA, and 4-H local livestock auction and dinner is February 14th at 2022. Dinner served at 6 p.m. with the auction to follow. It will be at the Baptist Church Fellowship Hall. Treat your sweetheart to a dinner and support some awesome kids. And it's sponsored by the Arnett Kiwanis Club and the Arnett Livestock Booster Club. Everybody get out and support your local livestock shows for your 4-H and FFA students. Please, they're our future. They are our future, and we need them. So anyway, I hear a rumor through the grapevine that some young lady up there that rides horses sometimes and drives a feed truck sometimes, she got done calving heifers last night. I'm impressed. Now she can sleep at night. She hasn't called me or texted me to volunteer and come down and relieve me on shifts or something, because I got 11 to go. I had one yesterday morning. I didn't get to talk about it because I had Gary on here yesterday. I didn't get to talk about it, but I had one yesterday morning, and we got leg was back. I left there Thursday night or Wednesday night at 10 o'clock, come back at 4 o'clock, and she must have started trying right after I left, and I didn't see anything close. when I left, and she'd been trying a while, and I ended up taking her to see Dr. Mouse, and the cow was semi-paralyzed in the left leg a little bit, and we let her rest there. We got the calf out, but it was too late, and she had one leg was backwards. Then yesterday evening before it got dark, there's one been trying about an hour and 15 minutes, and had a friend of mine, Rob Bruner, come out and help me get her in the lot. And it took us 45 minutes to get her in the lot. And then it took us another 30 minutes to get her situated where she wasn't, in other words, she wasn't cooperating. You know how women in labor are. They get mean and they don't want to hear any nonsense, and they don't want to get a rope around their neck. So finally got her where we could get her in the head gate, got her caught. She went down. I don't know what her problem was. It didn't take but a couple of cranks on the calf puller and it come right out. But anyway, so put her out there in the lot in front of the head gate, took the baby out there, got her baby out there immediately, left a little bit of the afterbirth on there so the mama would go over and clean it up. She didn't give that calf one look for at least an hour. And then I come back, I went somewhere, and I come back, and I was way away from her. I wasn't bothering her, but she was pretty stirred up. I mean, she just had a baby, and we had to pull it through there. But anyway, come back about an hour and a half, she was licking it. I left him alone all night. This morning, I tagged the calf, and turned him out with the rest of the pairs and the pair pasture. They're all happy, but she still is eyeballing me. She's not a happy woman. So anyway, that went well, and had one this morning, and everything's going well. I got 11 more to go, and then I can finally quit babysitting heifers because I don't babysit my cows. But I got an update on, the person that texted in on the blister bugs from an expert over in the Delhi area. You kill blister bugs. No, this is his way of killing blisters and beetles. No chemical required. Use two hammers and smash them between them. So, but I got a bunch of smart friends today. I mean, whatever. And you're welcome about the Raiden Stock Show. Anybody got any stock shows going on out there or want to brag on their kid, how good they're doing or how bad they're doing or whatever, let me know. I'll talk about it on the radio forum. Those kids appreciate it. But, Bill Dance, the person just texts back in, wants to know what size hammers to use. Is that 1 pound, 2 pound, or 10 pound sledgehammers? Anyway. If you guys are out looking for bulls and you haven't picked up the new Penny News and cannot find the bulls to buy, you got a problem because there is all kinds of bull sales going on and cattle sales going on in our area or all over the everywhere there's going on. First one I want to talk about is some of my favorite people, the Davises. Davis Angus Cattle, they're sale will be coming up March 5th, Saturday, there at the Clinton Livestock Auction in Clinton, Oklahoma. You got any? Just pick up a copy of the Penny News if you want to call Jordan, Jim, Debbie, Nakona, Denton, Baylor. I'm sure they don't want you calling the kids, but they mentioned their names anyway. But anyway, DavisAngus.com if you don't want to get your Penny News, but you need to. There's all kinds of sales going on. And February 23rd, coming up pretty quick, Quartermaster Creek, real life, real beef, spring bull sale. Wednesday, February 23rd at 12:30. Matter of fact, Mr. Mike Schweitzer might do a surprise guest appearance next Wednesday on my show, and I'm excited if he will surprise me and show up. Anyway, it's a smaller world. We got to talking on the phone the other day, so it's a smaller world than you think. And then we got the wide body sale going on in Esteline, Texas, February 12th. That's tomorrow at 12 noon. 200-plus Angus bulls, 90-plus Charolais bulls, and 50 Angus females. And then I know there's another one in here, and I don't want to rattle the paper. There, right there. 2022 production sale, Tuesday, March 22nd, Harrison Cattle Company, bull and feed set, bull and female sale happening Tuesday, March 22nd at 12 noon at the ranch. Call Leslie and Jan Harrison at 580-331-8103. That'll be there at Arapahoe. So there's no excuse for you not to find you a new bull this year. And they're all tested if they're at the sale. They're all going. Anyway, I was looking. I found an article here, right here. As we all know, the December hay stocks tumbled because we've been feeding it. It's not a very, doesn't take a smart person to figure that out. But inventories are way down, big time. The annual release of hay and forage data by the USDA that defines the previous year's hay production and year-ending inventories. It's called the Crop Production and Crop Production Annual Summary Reports, what it is. Overall, virtually all forage production metrics were down in 2021 compared to the previous year, even corn silage production. The USDA made its assessment of dry hay stocks in May and December of each year. Last May, spring hay stocks declined by a little over 2.4 million tons compared to the year before. December 1st of 2021, hay stacks were at 79 million tons, and that's down 5 million tons or 6% from last year, or 2020. Just go over a few and go figure. The most were down were the states that have been in that drought, severe drought up north and out west. North Dakota's hay stocks down 43.3%. South Dakota, 43.1%. Oregon, down 42.5%. Minnesota, down 34%. And some other states had significant inventory gains. New York, up 70%. You can't feed all those mouths in New York City, so sure, your stock's going to be up. Iowa, up 28.4%. This is catchy. Texas, up 28%. I wouldn't have dreamed that. Nevada up 22.5%, Michigan up 22.2%. Bottom line, lowest December hay stocks come as no surprise. It's just a matter of what degree. So anyway, Oklahoma up 3.9%, but I bet that's down since December 1st. So anyway, we got caught me off guard with Texas. They were up 28%. Utah's down 20. So overall in the United States, hay stocks are down 6%. We're in the negative. And a gentleman and me were talking about it this morning about some hay. And I said, I don't need any more hay, but I found a pretty good deal in some hay and I'm going to go ahead and buy it, even though I can't afford it, but I need it in case, because if we don't get any rain in this, if we don't get any relief, we might have to feed an extra month or so before we do get a spring shower to start greening things up. So I bought some extra hay just to have it, and it's good, tight, and wrapped. It'll last till next year, so I'm okay with that. But anyway, so, well, you guys, that's all I got for you this week. Thank you for participating in the deals. I'll have your tickets up front here in a little bit. Congratulations again, Ryan and Daryl, for doing. You guys have a pleasant weekend, and we'll see you Monday. We got a lot of things going on in the show in the next 2 weeks, so come back Monday and join me to find out what's going on. Anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.